Hey, everybody. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to the Music Challenge podcast. This is our first stay-at-home orders podcast, so it's a little different than our previous ones. As a matter of fact, we don't have an album to bring you this week, but we just wanted to check in. So I have a little conversation with Jed, then I have a little conversation with Rob. I hope you guys enjoy it. And we just wanted to keep coming at you, keep the community together a little bit. Why don't you let us know how you are doing at musicchallengepod@gmail.com. And let's just sink into a little conversation for a little bit. And then maybe that will help throw some distraction into your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Music Challenge Podcast, where every week, three music-loving friends sit down and talk brass tacks about the music that has touched our lives.
This season on the Music Challenge Podcast, we'll be talking about our formative four, the four albums that set us on our personal musical journeys.
Where did your musical journey begin? Let us know who your formative four are. We'll be featuring listener selections along the way, and we just may feature your groundbreaking music grails.
The albums that started it all for you and what you're listening to now. Let us know what we're missing out on and what we can be listening to.
Email us at musicchallengepod@gmail.com or slide into our DMs at musicchallengepod on Instagram.
Keep your eyes and ears peeled for weekly episodes featuring some of the most influential albums of our past, present, and future.
And now, without further ado, let's jump into the latest episode of the Music Challenge Podcast.
And hello, welcome to the Music Challenge Podcast for...
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's Jed, it's me, and we'll have Rob...
Quarantine condition.
We're in a quarantine formation, and what that means is we are coming to you remotely from each other. The podcast
Thank
studio...
Thank you, Zoom.
Yes, as known as Zoom. The studio has been shut down. It is being fumigated, and we have a shaman coming over to take care of any kind of bed bug situation that we might have had in there. And so for now, we're going to keep it coming in one way or another. This week, we just kind of have a hello, how you doing type episode. Because, of course, none of us really saw this coming. And, you know, and due to some people in the Music Challenge podcast family are compromised health-wise, so we're just not going to take any chances. And, you know, we don't want anyone getting sick. And, you know, we don't want to contribute to that just because we want to do podcasting, which we love to do. So, in any case... Jed, how have you been, my friend? How has it been going for you?
I'm doing pretty well. I've been ups and downs every day. I think everyone is out having those good days and bad. We're trying to figure out how to educate our kids, and which is just bonkers, and deal with spring break that was supposed to be spent in California that was spent inside our home as well.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat as everyone else, and we're fortunate to be able to still be working somewhat and whatnot,
sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, we've been trying to find some solace in staying connected to our friends. And that was something I didn't really realize the first week or 2 weeks was like, I can't just go dig myself a hole and hide in it, which I kind of tried to do. I needed to sort of like shut down and like, reconfigure what our life was going to be like,
right.
And then like this last weekend I realized like, oh man, like I miss everyone so much, like,
yeah.
So we've been trying to do like a Zoom call, like group or just individually, like, you know, one or two every night with someone just to
oh, that's
remain
cool.
You know, maintain some contact.
Right, right, right. That's cool. That's cool. I just did my first Zoom call, well, for non-professional purposes last night. It was honestly fun. It was, to me, there's still a wall there, but you know, what can you do? You know?
Oh, totally. So, yeah.
I haven't tried a big party Zoom call yet. I don't know how I do it.
That actually went better than I thought it was going to be.
That's what a lot of people. So tell me about it. Tell me about it.
So we did, we're what's called mug club members at our favorite brewery, Skeleton Key. Mm-hmm. Which is on Lamont Road. You guys should check them out online. And they've been doing a really fantastic job, like maintaining some sort of presence during all this, you know, like obviously their number one goal is to keep their doors open. And so they're trying to like work with the times and be super dynamic with stuff. And they also like hanging out with everyone in the brewery. So they've been posting the occasional Zoom call. So they did a beer tasting one day and they put together like a box of beer that you could order. And then you do it a tasting with popcorn or like, and then this was just like a happy hour style. And I think they invited 40 people and, or you could sign up to be part of it, like up to 40 people. And we had about 25 like different little boxes, you know, Zoom boxes or whatever for a good, like 2 hours. And everyone just hung out and drank and, you know, I watched someone, like one of the brewers, drink half a bottle of Malort. It was crazy.
Mercy, yeah.
But well, yeah, that was the first one, and it felt, you know, like you said, there's a wall there, but it felt pretty casual and comfortable. It was fun.
True. I mean, the alternative is, you know, I think like we were saying the same night, like, you know, I fell asleep watching Tiger King at 10:30 at night on Friday night, and just felt pretty quarantine-y, that's all, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just like, you know, just kind of like, you know, there just weren't really many options to do anything. And they're really, you know, beyond the remote, you know, I guess that's kind of what we're exploring right here is what have we been doing?
And we've seen each other a couple times too.
Yeah, so you and I, deck you far and I away. Have seen each other, twice, like both in once outdoors fishing where, you know, we never got close to each other, and once out on a deck
social distance fishing.
Yeah,
the original, which it really should be anyway. Yeah,
yeah,
the reason you're getting out there in the first place.
Yeah. Jed hates it when I fish within 6 feet of him all day.
I'm a roamer. I like to go.
Oh geez, my pole is 7 feet long, so yeah, it would cause a problem. But you've been watching a lot of stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've been really enjoying all the free streams that people have been putting out, and there was really kind of a sort of seemed like there was just like a call for it, and all these musicians just started stepping up, and whether it was new material that they're doing out of their basements or on Instagram and Facebook. They own a bar.
Well, the OCs did a whole set of new material from an empty bar. It was just one of the first nights that.
See, I didn't even know that. Yeah, I didn't even know that yet.
Yeah, I sent you the link for that.
That's that one.
It's that one. So,
all right, that's the one that's still in my queue.
And the thing is,
I think I didn't realize the circumstance of it either.
Yeah, it's all new, and some of it's what it is, and some of it is you can tell it's going to be a face melter type. Like, this is a song they're going to build up big time. But in any case, what have you watched? You watched,
Well, today. I've got a few. So everyone's been doing something a little different. So Nugs.net has a list of concerts for, you know, every day of the week, multiple times a day, they're posting stuff, and in a specific genre, which is sort of a jammy bluegrass, all that kind of thing. Jam Bass is doing a long list of items as well. And then it's every day it changes. I just heard yesterday, a friend of mine told me that PBS opened up all of their Austin City Limits concerts. for free streaming like through like
May 31st
or something. Yeah, so that's, I mean, I'm gonna go through there this week. We're gonna pull some of those up and watch them.
I saw My Morning Jacket one recently.
I was talking to Jerry Eady yesterday, and he was like, "Check out the My Morning Jacket one. It's insane." That's the first one I think I'm gonna do. And then someone else said to check out the Rock on Tours show, which is great too, which I'm into. So I will happily do that. And then the only other main place that I noticed everything is CNET. If you just search like CNET concerts, it's the top link, and it goes straight to like a daily list of concerts that they're running like all day long, every single day of the week, like starting at like 10 in the morning. And so like that, you know, it's anything, it's all over the board from like old Bob Dylan to Kesha doing a concert somewhere and wherever, you know, like, everyone should go and check this out, because if you like music, like, you'll find something that you're going to want to watch.
Wow, that's cool. And are there ways to like kind of tip the band or something like that usually while you're, or it's not really at this point?
I haven't really noticed that. It always seems like it's mostly, you know, the band's giving back to the to the people. Sure. Have you seen that in any of your experiences?
I know that it could be set up, but like where you could probably real time go to Kickstarter and throw down some tip money or whatever. So like, hey, throw the band $5-$10 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like if they ran a crawl across the bottom of the screen or something like that. But you know, what do I know? I'm only sitting here in Woodridge, Illinois with my humble little podcast and my best friends. So
it's actually a really great idea especially for band. You think about these bands being major players that can afford to do this, you know, like it's not costing Phish anything to put a show on, but the OCs.
No, it's true. The OCs probably either, really, to tell you the truth, but, you know,
I bet they still need to be making money. A lot of these bands are not rolling in it.
True. He's made 25 albums in the last 20 years, so he's got some royalties lined up, I think. But a lot of these little, man, I even thought about my little dad band, let's just set up in a garage and stream it and don't think about who's not watching it or anything. Just do it, you know,
be practice. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But we forgot that, the virus, we don't really get together in basements right now. So we're not only are we not podcasting, we're not playing band, and you know, you were
and
right.
Andrew wants to cry.
You were right. You have to kind of find things to replace it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not easy. Being with other people is not easy to replace. So, and the thing is, the times I do see people getting together, it's usually some sort of, there's some odd human reaction going on, for sure. So, me personally, what I have been taking in for media entertainment is, I am a big sports fan, and you know, normally I would be all over baseball right now, and it's not there. I am very interested actually still to see how on sports talk radio they fill that time. Like, it is kind of fascinating to me how
a lot of empty space for media.
Well, it's like, it's that's when they're showing their skills, you know. Hey, you're a sports talk radio guy with no sports, so have at it. Now that only goes so far. I have been listening to replays. They've been playing replay of the 2016 whole Cubs playoff World Series championship thing on the radio.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I think they've been through the first four games now, and I've caught parts of all of them. And the thing is, it just doesn't replace baseball at all, but it reminds me of like the moment
it almost feels like you're
like my stomach
listening to WGN.
Well, it's almost like, you know, it reminds me of, dude, my stomach was so nuts. I thought I was going to throw up for most of that. So,
yeah. Do you do the radio and you mute the TV?
I have.
Or are you a strict radio guy? I definitely find that more enjoyable than watching the TV guys. So I never have to listen to, what's that one guy's name? I just want to punch him in the face all the time. No, I forget. Oh. Such a schmuck. What's his name? He has a really bad name, like a really bad, radio name. Buck.
Jack Buck.
Jack Buck. Hate that guy.
Jack Buck Naked. That was my CB handle in high school.
It's not him. That's not him. It's a young guy. I don't know.
Any case. So I've been taking in some of that. I've taken in 3.5 episodes of Tiger King. Oh, well, yeah, Joe Buck. That's the kid.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, sorry.
And we'll go back to 3, 2, 1. No, that's right.
Need that out of my system.
I like that guy, by the way. Any case, watching 3.5 episodes of Tiger King, and actually, I just crossed a line with it where all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is genius, isn't it?
Like, this is what this is about.
I finally figured out, oh, you're the player, aren't you? Like the thing is, it's like people.
It just opens up from there.
Yeah, people who you don't even think have anything to do with anything, and all of a sudden it's like. Like, all of a sudden, you're swinging his balls around. It's just like, you know, here it comes, man. So, and then I fell asleep. So, that's prone to happen.
You have a lot to listen to. You have a lot to watch.
Yeah.
Still some good episodes in there.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'm not a TV watcher, so I think this is a fun, it's quite an exercise in itself for me. So, like, binge watching something is a hilarious notion. But you know, it's going pretty good. And then, you know, maybe we'll find something to watch after that. I don't know. Like fishing tournaments, which I have 2 years worth of.
I wonder if they can still do fishing tournaments. You could stay pretty far away from each other on that.
Yeah. I don't think anyone cares if fisher people die. So, I mean, I don't know. There is that part at the end where they start ramming their boats into each other and stuff like that. There could be some sort of contact and sneezing going on. But, so that's about what I've got cooking. And we'll be switching over to Rob here in some sort of non-transitional way because it was recorded earlier. We'll be switching over to Rob shortly. And, thanks for tuning in to this special episode, or you could even say bonus episode, of the Music
Ovoid Jones Podcast. Episode.
The COVID episode. The COVID episode. Yeah, I mean,
I like COVID. It sort of leaves a void in there.
Kind of, you know, or it's a robot or something like that, or a robot. I don't like to say that. So yeah, we'll see where it's gonna go from here. I mean, I guarantee you, we're gonna finish. We're gonna do it one way or the other. So, we'll have to get down some of the details. So, all right, cool. Thanks for joining me, Jed.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for keeping us on top of what's streaming. Now I know where to go Hey, so be safe out there.
Yeah.
See you
later. Put your mask on. Bye.
No. All right. And cut. All right. I don't have any mask, dude. I'm going to die.
Remember, everyone, we want you to submit your Formative Four. Tell us the musical seeds that set you on your path, and we might review one of your albums right here on the air. You can get on our blog at musicchallenge.fireside.fm or email us at musicchallengepod@gmail.com. Also, you can slip into our DMs at musicchallengepod on Instagram.
Come as close to four as you can, but if you need more or less, that's all right too. Remember, musicchallengepod@gmail.com, and you could hear us discuss one of your albums.
And we also dropped in on Rob via Zoom this weekend. And Rob and I got into a pretty interesting musical conversation. I thought I'd bring it to you now. So kick back, sit back, listen to Rob and I shoot the shit. We will talk to you soon. Bye.
So you've been listening to any music at all?
It's funny, today I went back and listened to some, I don't know how I got roped into this, but I meant to tell you this earlier. I don't know if you're familiar with the genre that they would refer to as shoegaze, but I went back and listened. I went back and listened to The Verve.
Completely. Oh, The Verve, eh?
Right.
The early and, 90s?
Yeah, and I listened to a record in particular called, I think it's called Urban Hymns. But there's a couple tunes on there. Somebody, my wife said, if you were going to tell somebody a song to smoke pot to, what would it, one song, what would it be? And there's this tune on that album. It's called Chasing Butterflies, I believe is what it's called. It's
maybe
killer.
That's the next question for our
right.
The next season of our podcast.
Right.
Or actually the next the next week.
I thought it was a good question. So of course I entertained it because I'm sitting here in the middle of my living room throwing a frisbee to my two dogs. And I put it on. And it's just, to me, that song, I'd be interested if you listened to it. To me, that song just sounds like what I imagine smoking pot feels like almost.
We need to get a hold on this.
Yeah. It's a cool tune. So then that brought me in. And The Verve was a definite, like, eclipse of the shoegaze scene. So then it made me go back to the Stone.
Were you familiar with, Ride? And they were out
to say it again. Yeah, you cut out there for a second. Who were they?
The name of the band is Ride, R-I-D-E.
No. I feel like I've heard of them, but I'm not familiar.
You need to check it out. Because that was,
I will.
They were they were from Manchester. They were,
I love that Manchester sound. That's what I'm looking for.
Manchester, and there's a sister city of that, which we all know. I can't remember what it is.
Right. I can't either.
Maybe even the Beatles city. But in any case,
Liverpool, is it?
Yeah, I think it might be Liverpool.
It might. So, anyways.
But in any case, that was supposedly the origin of the whole shoegazer thing, but Ride is actually a very hard-hitting band, and I would check out their second album.
Yeah.
The one with Leave It All Behind on it.
Okay. I got to check it out tomorrow. So that of course, brought me back to, I don't know if you're familiar with these guys, the Stone Roses.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Stone Roses.
Fucking amazing. So then I played some of that. They were unbelievable. And what I noticed about shoegaze too, and obviously always stood out to me, was their use of effects. Part of the name of their genre was from that. And
so why don't you explain to people what shoegazing means?
So in this genre of music, there was a ton of effects used, and it was kind of developed from almost like a combination between like psychedelic pop and like house or acid house, kind of those beats. But they used a lot of effects on their guitars, and they did it well in my eyes. And because
they used a lot of effects, that is for sure. I mean,
they all had effects on their guitars. They would look down at their pedal boards. So they started calling that genre shoegaze, is where it came. So in any case, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, they were looking down at their pedals, and I think in general they were just, instead of being showmen, supposedly,
they were listening
to their sound, you know.
Exactly.
They weren't flip-flopping on stage.
Right. They were
just checking out, like, okay, listening and seeing how they can adjust. And
absolutely. Incognito, they were about the sound, not the look. And so that brought me back to the Stone Roses, whose first record is absolutely unstoppably good. That tune, and then the Charlatans UK, whose first record is also freaking amazing. Of course, all like Manchester area shoegaze-esque bands. So that's what I listened to today, which is ironic. But that's what I've been doing a lot of. I will. I'll send you a link to that tune by The Verve too. It's kick ass.
Nice. I'm trying to think. It's like, you know, I went to college during the shoegaze era. Well, the second shoegaze era, so to speak.
You did.
Yeah. Like we were listening to tons of this year of this British stuff. Kind of in a way led by the Smiths.
Sure. Absolutely.
Who were actually the from Smiths that and area.
A combination between Smiths and the Cure. They kind of both sprouted that, and the Cure went one direction and Smiths another. The Smiths would have been something else if they could have fucking gotten past their
diva-ness?
Egos. Yes. Yeah. But you're right. That's kind of what spawned it, Drew. Anyway, so go on.
Well, I was just saying, like I did listen to a decent amount of Smiths when I was in high school.
Sure.
And the thing is, like, it is really poppy. And that, you know, and sometimes that really drags me down. But at the same time, it's really catchy pop. And
it's well written. I mean,
and actually, the dudes in the band were good. Like,
oh fuck the bass yeah, player Johnny Marr was. Johnny Marr was a great guitarist.
And Andy O'Rourke was the bass player, and he was, you know, he was just so on top. There's one song they have that I wish my band would cover. My dad band, but. You know, it's just that charming man, this charming man. But like, the thing is, that's so far from their radar that I'm afraid to bring it up. But they're probably listening right now. Probably not. But
let's hope they're listening right now.
Let's hope everyone's listening right now. This is why we're doing this. We're doing this for our community, folks. We want, you know, the Music Challenge Podcast community. And
send us your selections. Send us your formative four.
That's right. Or send us your one. It's at musicchallengepod@gmail.com. Musicchallengepod@gmail.com. I'm trying to think of what I've been listening to.
That's music challenge.
Music, and you can dig into our DMs too. Because I've had a few people follow us on Instagram. And that would be also be Music Challenge Pod at Music Challenge Pod. So, what have I, I'm actually a big Pandora listener because I can't be bothered to pick out my own music.
Right.
And
I've been exposed to Drew's Pandora playlist that he's developed.
Yeah, and what'd you think of that?
Knowing Drew, it's been developed over a long time. Dude, you know I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, it obviously spawned some conversation immediately in your car all the way to the city and then back and coaxed us to do this podcast. So it does some good.
Yeah, my shit's loaded up with actually the two Crux bands that are used as the, like, I entered in the OCs and Joy Division, and
I need to dip into the OCs more. I just need
what you need is me to give you a tour some night.
You really do, and then send me off on my own.
I mean, yeah, I could you know, no doubt. Here's a few songs. Now go kill yourself. Because, I mean, tell you the truth, every single one of that band's albums are different. Every single one of that band's albums are different. So, I mean, it's not like I can just say, like, hey, yeah, here's 10 albums that sound the same. It's like, man.
Sure.
Like, and
sure. It's kind of, yeah, that's, it's similar. It's similar to, like fucking King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
Like,
there's nothing in there, for sure.
There's no. Right. There's nothing in there that's the same. It's like, hey, look, we're going to make a metal album. Oh, wow, watch this. We can do, you know, prog rock. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they are prog rock.
It's almost like Ween-esque. And I'm not trying to go back, but here we are again down formative paths.
Sure.
You know, these, like, Ween, in my eyes, is the kind of the pioneer of this genreless genre, if you know what I mean. Like, look, what, you know, we can do this. And Ween is really good at, Ween is really good at making it kind of goofy to a certain extent, but still super, super intricate and, like, accurate. It's fun.
I'm not very familiar with Ween, to tell you the truth.
It's freaking, you need to listen to White Pepper and then, or Live in Chicago.
Oh, I've seen the Live in Chicago at the Vic. It was incredible.
Yes, yes.
It was amazing. Incredible. It was like, oh, wow, that guy really can tear the guitar up.
Dude, he fucking shreds. He's such a good guitarist.
And the thing is, they do kind of joke it out.
There's some goofiness to it. And that's kind of what, like, there's a little of that in Fish. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. And there's a little of that in Frank Zappa. And
oh, absolutely.
Right.
And there's a little of that in fucking Faith No More, to be honest, like a goofy silliness, like almost mocking themselves, which is, it's kind of cool. It's
self-aware.
And self-deprecating. Right.
Right. It's self-aware, which is actually very cool.
Totally.
Very cool. So you had, actually, my Pandora keeps coming up with some tendencies, suicidal tendencies, because I kind of ended up, you know, you're getting us ready to listen to it.